This is board time, 9 October.
Nobody wrote down how they voted on anything, so it's hard to say. All I can tell you is
yes, I will.
That the number of, there was no written consensus, so I don't want to say too much more than that.
Okay.
To hear the attorneys talking, there was less disagreement than there was agreement, but I don't want to go any further than
okay,
that.
Okay, got it.
Good guy. Good idea.
Hey, Don.
Excellent, guys. All right, Don, you're in front of the line. Hop in, hop out.
Ready to go.
We'll get you out of here.
Whenever you guys are.
We're ready. Let's go.
Will you drive through?
He's not. No, he needs a little bit of guidance from the board.
Okay, I need a little guidance. We talked last week in executive session about our lawsuit situation. What I didn't know then and what I...
Hold on. October.
All right.
Okay, we're good.
What I didn't know then that I know now is that our expert witness, we lent a contract to him for 24-5, which is, of course, underneath. Didn't have to come to you guys. The county administrator signed it. Everything was great. Apparently, they worked within all the depositions and getting the discovery ready for, and they worked through the weekend. As of Monday, they'd spent all but $300 of that. He started his testimony yesterday. So he emailed us early in the morning and said, how am I going to get paid? And I said, well, we're going to pay you for your expert testimony. We have to, obviously. He said, but my contract has run out. After talking with Mr. Westerman, I found out that there's really no way to extend it or anything. I have to come to you guys. Okay, so you will see on your agenda next Tuesday a request for an $8,000 addition to that.
Up to.
And the next thing I did when I found out about this, I went to Christine and I said, call our partners in the lawsuit. The partners in the lawsuit have agreed to pay half.
Good.
So when I told you guys that we would be between 5 and 6,
cool,
and they said 8, I got a little worried, and so then we found a recovery. So we're still going to be between 5 and 6, I think, on the deal. So it'll be, I just wanted you to know, when you see this $8,000 deal come through next week, that's what the deal is.
This expert witness and talking to our partners is incredibly valuable to our side of all these claims and offers us really our best potential to get some relief.
They would have been really unhappy if he had not been there.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
What you found so far on the complaints that we've
received. So did they say we need to actually...
Yes.
Did Chris say we need to actually give that direction?
No, I got it resolved.
We need to give...
I think I got it resolved.
Direction. It would be good to have that open public.
All right, Don, thank you.
When?
Go ahead.
Okay, all right. This has to do with the... declaratory judgment to define the veto bylaws for C-TRAN. Last night, we could not move forward to fulfill the one mission that the Composition Review Committee has, and that is because we don't know what that means. So the only remedy that even the C-TRAN attorney said is that we need to be able to go through the process of having a Superior Court judge tell us what the bylaws mean. So I understand, Chris, that the way to do that is for... we need to file suit, and it is called a declaratory judgment, and we would invite all the other entities involved to participate with the county to help us to understand what those bylaws mean regarding the veto.
That's correct. That is the most clear approach to the issue, and a court will interpret the statute or interpret, in this case, the agreement between the parties, and we can invite all the other municipalities to take part.
And this is a friendly action that has been previously discussed by our partners, that at some point, if the attorneys could not reach consensus on the implications of the veto section, or implications of board composition changes in the veto sections, that they may need to seek declaratory judgment and get a judge's opinion on it. And so, I think for us to invite our partners to share in seeking that judgment would be a good step.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Okay. We're in agreement?
We're fast agreement. Track. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Thanks, Chris.
Okay.
Chris.
Coffee drive-through policy.
Well, if you would entertain it, Mr. Chair, I'd get Chris Horn out of here. Can you talk PIFs?
PIFs, go.
We've done a lot of research trying to find the resolution that originally separated the PIF fees into acquisition and expenditure. It's not done by ordinance, so they're not codified. And tried to find the resolution. We've looked all over. We can't find it.
Okay.
So I've got the most likely section.
Wait. If there was no resolution that you can find that separated them, then they are not separated.
Well,
right? I mean, if you can't prove to me that there is a document that separated them out, then how are you trying to tell me they're separated?
We
you
did
just
that.
Solved our problem.
I would not want to pursue that course. The safest thing I could advise you is to they're calculated separately in the formula that's under 4620. So they are at least in the formula separate. I would recommend that we amend the only places where they are referred to in code and make it clear that we are repealing any contrary provisions that have been previously enacted, and we will do a one-time resolution to clean that all up.
Perfect. Let's rock
would
and roll.
That allow us to retroactively merge
no.
them?
No. We have
no,
to
we
keep
kind
them.
Of trying when he was like, we couldn't find a resolution.
I just had to ask it a different way.
No, yeah.
Chris, let me just ask this question.
It's worth an ask.
The creation of the REIT development component of the REIT for parks
right.
occurred at roughly the same time this fictitious or supposedly fictitious division of PIF was created. Did it just potentially come about by the urban myth method?
No. They were in 1990 when we created an acquisition and development formulas separately. My guess is there was a resolution that said that they'll be deposited and expended separately. But I just can't find that old resolution.
Is there? Can we put some staff member on that to go say go search?
We've had Andrew Penta looking, and he's pretty good. And we've had a number of people, including Mark, who has spent time looking. So
Lori
I could not find
Tom
it,
Sutton.
And I went through the code.
So we just need to make the change in the code. Then.
Yeah, and we will fix it for you.
And you're going to get that ready for us? And
I'll do it this week.
That's awesome.
Sounds good.
We like that. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Okay, Marty.
And, just a heads up, at 3:30-ish, I need to head to the Clark County Event Center to be there to represent us for that cool, for the Millennium Coal transmission thing.
Okay.
So, coffee drive-through policy. Marty.
So I have two things. One is the timeline of moving this through. It's being tracked along with the biannual code amendments, which the board has a work session scheduled a week from today,
mm-hmm.
October 16, 11 o'clock. So you'll see this among other biannual code amendments. With the board's blessing, we'll move all these matters to the Planning Commission. Their work session is scheduled November 7th with a hearing dated November 21 and then back to the board for hearing on December 10. So these are the biannual code amendments that include this new coffee and food stands section. So I'll just give this to you. You guys can look at it.
Thank you.
Give me a call. Give me an email. Boop. Give me a thump on the side of the head.
So we'll start reviewing this, and then it would go to Planning Commission when?
November 7 work session, November 21 hearing.
Okay.
I can email a copy of this to you if you'd like.
Yes, please.
Or I'll just make a copy.
Make a copy, and Mr. McCauley will get it to you.
Okay. Is that good?
Yep.
Good?
Is that it?
We're good? All right. Excellent. Thank you for working on this, man.
So
good little bill.
Okay, let's get Oliver in here.
All right. Preference census.
Oliver's
there.
I like being quick.
That is a good thing, man. We appreciate it.
A lot of things to do.
So all right, quick.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Oliver.
Hello.
All right. We're moving right along here. Preference census.
Yeah, this is Oliver's following up. I think he emailed you.
He did not get a chance to read it.
I haven't had a chance to read it either. So what? Without having read it already, what?
It looks totally good. I recommend it.
Figured it out.
No.
Must be fair.
It is the same letter. It came in different colors, but it is the same. One is will go to ag. Property owners and
I got shoes up.
Keep going on, sorry.
And the other letter will also go to Forestier 40 property owners. What I'm really looking for is not a surprise to the board, but to be able to send this out to the property owners. The question that we will ask is at the back of each of the letters. And the the questions will be put in a postcard that it will be self-stamped postcard that they can mail back to us or go to the website, which we are working with GIS, and enter their preference so we can populate them properly and know which one.
Well, this letter here has the parcel number on it, and it has their choice.
Yes.
If you do a separate, why would you, even though you would print a post, you would just make something that they would mail back in, because otherwise the postcard would have to be uniquely printed as well and included in this.
Yes.
So you would. You would include a two documents that are unique to each address, a postcard and a letter.
Or are you going to go with a self-addressed
phone number?
The postcard will be self-addressed.
And that'd be cheaper than a letter.
Yes.
Yeah, so he can work with the print shop mail.
And it will have the parcel number on there.
Yes.
And it will. I assume you put a barcode on there so that you
can
get it. And great.
Yes.
Because we don't want to make work. We want to get as smart as we can. Automation.
That's the goal. And I want to thank PIO Holly here and Lego. They've looked at this and given us the nod that it's good to go.
Okay. Well, why don't we... I assume that we'll come back next week and go over this.
Oh.
Are you in her?
I'm looking for approval.
Oh, you want to be able to... On the spot for us to be able to say... Oh, well, I thank you for doing your homework on here.
All first credit it was email.
I know.
Yeah, but we want to make sure that if, for instance, if they have, ideally, a number of them would sign on to our GIS site, and it would give them a username and password and help them to be able to find their parcel and select the option that's there.
That's what we're designing with GIS. So I'm working with GIS. All we want now is the approval of the letter. We go work it out with GIS and print shop and send
and
it out.
Do either, so they'd have this be the go online and do it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I certainly am pleased to see you move forward with this. But I would like to be able to behind the scenes work with you as well to make sure we get it just optimized so that it's easy and convenient, not only for the staff, but for the customer out there. To streamline.
So moved.
If you change it, I might want to read it.
That's true. Yeah, don't change it too much or we might not like it.
Don't worry.
All right.
It will be to help, not to hurt.
All right.
Okay.
Good.
So we have two saying okay and then some behind-the-scenes action.
Two saying okay, but, you know, as long as he doesn't change it too much and make it come back. Watch behind the curtain.
I don't want to have to pass it in order to find out what
they're doing. Here's what I will do, Commissioner.
It's only one page.
You got the okay.
I got the okay.
Yes.
I should just stop now that I
can do it. You really should.
You better let him know.
I know. When you got the vote,
it's a pretty good result, Oliver. We'll see you.
Very good. I'll see you later.
All right. Thank you, Oliver.
You're welcome.
All right. Battleground MOU.
I can't handle this. Too quick.
Yeah.
Jeff.
Oh, railroad. Thanks, Oliver.
This could be quick, too.
Should be.
Unless you expanded the MOU.
What'd you do with the MOU? You expand it?
That's what we're going to find out.
You expand it, you're in trouble.
He's
a good man.
He doesn't have a trail in it.
Because I got to go out to Battleground next week, and they want me to go out there now. So, I don't know exactly what that means.
If they're digging a deep hole,
run, man. Yeah, could be like, see the ditch on the east side of the railroad there.
Cattails.
There'll be a tail on a trail on top of it.
Cattails already there.
So essentially, all the MOU deals with is ceding this piece of ground, this piece of right of way to them, so they can do Grace Avenue.
Okay.
And it provides for them to use on a temporary basis this stretch of the old Grace Avenue for a parking lot. So we're not addressing the trail in this MOU.
Also, if for any reason do we have to give what type of a notice if we were to use that or need that, do we have to?
Oh, it's not specified.
So what standard, like 30 days, probably?
Yeah. Because they're not building on it, they're just using
giving a 12-year lease or something like that.
No. And they're not allowed to build it.
We can use it until we need it.
Is that Exhibit A?
This is, I believe.
Okay. Is it? This talks about the property in Exhibit A. It should be uniquely identified what property on Exhibit A. Because we've got multiple squares here.
This is the public parking.
Yeah, I got that.
Right.
This is the part where
the white.
This is right away. We're gonna give.
So
to
we
them,
should say
way.
That we should identify that. So otherwise, they say, well, that was all on there too. You know,
yeah.
Or even the whole railroad was on.
Yeah, there should be some text on here indicating.
Maybe,
you know,
yeah.
Parcel A, parcel B, and so on.
Yep. Reference one on the exhibit A, and there's reference one.
Agreed.
Well, it looks like this MOU requires other documentation be put together because there's a agreement for access, documentation. So we can just put that right.
Well, and the access would then have the like how many days to, until they get off, that kind of thing for the little parking area.
All right. The other piece that's going to be added to this is a signature block for Eric Temple. For the PBJ.
Because he had freeway.
He agreed to it as well.
Are these, is this addressed at all?
He has to agree for us to give up a right of way over there?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't use that.
Well, it says to use this current space also, and that's so only to the degree that it's covering the existing, right?
In the lease with the PVJR, we need to get any sort of substantive changes to the right of way cleared with him.
And does anything in this, and I asked you this about the other piece of it when we're building stuff, does any of this preclude Battleground's ability to seek a new business along the rail there, training rail engineers and all that?
Nope.
Okay. Doesn't like pay for it. It doesn't give them things away, but it doesn't preclude them from doing it.
Right.
Okay. Well, then they shouldn't be too mad at me.
Right. So this is permanent transfer right away, and this is temporary dedication. Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a temporary? Okay. So we've been identifying the temporary and the permanent there as two separate references.
All right.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. So
and I assume that our Chris Crook or Chris Horn would go over this. Like,
always.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Always.
Right, Blair Waters has been through it.
Okay.
So we'll get this ready for prime time, get the labeling on the exhibit.
Yeah, we need to bring
it to a
Battleground still working through some process on their end.
Okay.
So
all right.
Ball's kind of in their court.
Next couple of weeks, we'll see it on a consent agenda, hopefully.
Yep.
All right. Outstanding.
We're rocking.
We're doing good. All right. Thank you, Jeff.
You
appreciate it. That's old business. Did you have anything else on old business, Mark?
Yes. What I have here is a ready-to-sign letter to our congressional... What?
No, it's always just, ready to sign. It's always dangerous when we just...
Well, Dr. Melnick prepared a letter at the your request as the Board of Health.
Thank you, sir. Good.
To our congressional delegation, highlighting the local impacts of the government shutdown. Clockwise or counterclockwise?
Yeah, I read it after this. It seemed like pretty straightforward. Here are the specific local impacts, and that's it.
Already signed one?
Oh, okay.
All back to you.
Just trying to be efficient.
You don't have to read each one.
I know we're not. I know we don't want to be political on this, but I mean, so I do have some. I'm thinking, I wish you could have done better because it says your actions is reckless and dangerous, and I'm thinking there's the it's coming out that way, but. It's also necessary we shouldn't condemn them for having to take a stand. But this wasn't the intention to say you're being reckless and dangerous. Instead, it was to inform them of the consequences and how this is affecting us. It wasn't to condemn them. This is condemning them. So I would say let's fine tune it to remove the condemnation.
So that's the line. Hold on. That's the line that specifically says we believe this shutdown is reckless and dangerous.
Yes.
And take that out and basically start with we respectfully urge you to work with your congressional colleagues in the White House to find a solution to the current impasse.
Yes.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. Because it's a good point.
I'm
we're not trying to.
I'm being called reckless.
I know. I don't take it as political.
I don't think it's personal.
And it didn't. When I was saying it wasn't political, I was like, well, they didn't blame Congress or the president, the White House and all of this. They just were like, this is dangerous. But you're right. It does kind of, it is a condemnation. So we'll just cut out that line.
You might offend somebody and say, I'll
fair enough.
Fix
and we don't want to start out by having them be offended. Then they don't read the stuff that we actually want them to read.
which is the local index.
Okay, the rest of it's fine.
We'll have
that's
what
I look at my email.
Perfect. Thank you.
I look at my email. If I'm offended in the first couple of lines, I don't read the next two pages.
I do, because it might
you
have
you guys better remember that. You offend me in the first
he's
two
he's been around long. He's like, nah. Nope.
And they're usually right.
Fair enough. I understand that. All right.
Okay, this is actually down in the work session prioritization, but it also qualifies as old business. All I gave each of you on Monday a copy of this report from Mark Gassaway. He has offered to make a presentation.
And I plan
to
sit down with him and go over each page.
Okay. Do you want any pages? I'm going to read it.
It's great stuff. I don't know that. I don't know. It's great stuff. I read through some of it, and okay. It's great trends.
Just thank you for the offer. And
I'll
take him up on his offer 101.
Okay. We should make sure that, again, that makes it to the grid, though, because it's really cool stuff.
Right.
I'm loving on the grid.
I don't know about you two.
By the way, regarding the grid, Linnea is preparing a notice to all the elected officials and all the department directors, giving them a link to the grid, explaining what the purpose of it is.
Are we keeping all the? Is it all out on the cloud, or how are we making sure we have capacity?
We have in-house storage capacity.
Actually, it's either in-house or if they want an outhouse.
You put it in an outhouse. Yeah.
It's a cheap thing. They've got IT's got that in a
cloud. Yeah, they're doing a cloud test.
That could be a category.
Right on.
All right. Okay, commissioner reports.
All right, commissioner reports. Commissioner Milky is pointing at Axel.
Me?
Did you have something for Tom? Or
no, I just figured
probably.
He might cover half
he usually
my
goes last, too. So, yeah, Axel, we want you to go first today.
Yeah.
I don't have a ton. I have a couple of, I have two reports on work session requests, so I'll just do those when we get to it. But all I have is the historic promotion grant. We have a date for review of those grants. We've got about 8 applications, so it's mainly you and Greg Kimsey's schedule we work around. We'll pull the committee together. We're going to do that at the end of this month.
And then the results of the committee come back to the full board, and
then
the board
then
makes
the board
decision.
For recommendations.
Yeah.
So that process is happening now. Two personal things.
Buildings
one,
in my right of way.
Next Monday, I Fair start enough. With 2 weeks of jury duty. So
hey, you'd be serving with my wife. She just got her notice.
Did she really?
Yeah. Nice. Total speculation that it's during deer season. I promise you, I really do have deer duty.
You could be dismissed depending on how you answer the questions.
Right. And then
I can tell by looking
at you. Off every time.
November 2nd, though, I will be gone for a whole week. I'm going elk hunting the first weekend of November. So just
I'm reviewing that request.
Yeah, you really should.
Is that a request that I have here?
Here it is, right here, Axel.
Axel, here's your request for elk season.
You know, here's how it cannot fall apart without you. You take David Rogers and Bruce Barnes with you. They both hunt. I'm just saying, you take those two guys with you. Your workload and our workload all level
That's
out.
Right.
Well, the good news is they'll be gone all week too. So.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right. So maybe I should take vacation
to Bruce out there. He hunts by where I actually
hunts by me. He showed up at our camp last year, like. Going off about something, and literally one of the guys at camp's like, Steve, I don't know if you want to hide or something, but there's this dude out here, and he's really angry. I'm like, who is it? And he told me, and I'm like, oh, dude, he's always
he's carrying a gun.
I'm like, he's a good enough guy. He's just always angry. He was mad about the fear.
Dave comes up towards my house and hunts out of where
he brings a really valid point with him.
Who's
that hook
Bruce?
Rod.
I know, he totally does. Well, and I saw
the 23rd,
and I saw one of those big helicopters out there. I was out east of Sunset Falls last week, and I saw one of them when I was out there. It was one of the big spray helicopters.
No.
Oh, it was huge, man. And so they're out there. There's no doubt about it. They're out there spraying, and they're doing a lot of logging activity right now. So, yeah, it's definitely a valid point. And you didn't have anything else?
Just work sessions.
Okay, we'll get back to that then. Holly, did you have anything?
Just I'll be gone October 22nd to the 29th.
Everybody's leaving us.
I'll be here.
I feel jilted.
Kelly, when you leave,
you'll be here, buddy. It's fine.
That's
Kelly, what do you got, man?
No policy issues, but I wanted to pass something along. The president and vice president of the Hazeldale Salmon Creek Business Association requested a presence by a commissioner at this ribbon cutting for the timbers. So I just wanted to pass along the information to you and see if one of you might be able to make it on October 29th.
Luxury apartments.
Yeah, you may recall this. This kind of by those row houses they build out there, and then they were going
to
build.
Well, it's the last Tuesday in October, so we wouldn't have any of those emails.
That's where they were going to build their
district.
I must have been. So it was business?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, now it's my district.
It is when they want somebody out there.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So maybe you want me to work with Linnea, see if you have time on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you. That's it.
All right. Cool. Now we'll go back to the commissioners. Commissioner Milky.
I will.
We'll give you our
this is something.
Because we have extras, you know.
This is something you're going to do.
Uh-oh.
I'll set that aside. Something. We're not going to do it today. We'll get back on that sooner or later. Coffee stands, we already addressed. Yeah. Timbers is something I just got. What have we done with about the panhandlers?
That's a work session. That's a work session request that is in the next section.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
So, nice. Sergeant Walker got back to me. I told you before, they were doing research with the Sheriff's Department. He had his committee put some things together. He sent their version of, I guess it'd be like what we call a model code or something, he put together. I'm not sure which ordinance he used, if it was Pierce County's or another one. So I have that now, and I've asked Gordy Euler and Oliver to assign me some planning help. So Jeff is going to help. So I'm going to pull together Sergeant Walker and his crew, and then Jeff from planning, and then we'll come to you guys probably in a work session with what the initial draft is. And it's not just outlaw panhandling in Clark County. What they looked at is aggressive panhandling code. So it's when you're panhandling in an unsafe situation or a situation where someone feels trapped, like in the parking lot at their car or at a bus stop or somewhere where they don't have a choice to get away from it.
Stop light.
Yeah.
You're still trapped.
So we've got a draft. I've got planning staff help, and I'm going to come. So actually, that's a work session request. Is can we bring it to you guys here down the road?
Yes, I don't know if we need a work session for that.
Probably.
Okay.
Just there's enough jurisdictions that are doing it differently, okay. And probably at least want to have a half hour on it.
A trapped situation.
And then next week, I'd like to request that animal control be up here. I would like to start a conversation about putting their. Maybe you can just do it. Start looking at taking their hard copy form and putting it onto either a laptop or an iPad. And the intent is down the road, as we improve our animal control, is that when people go out to pick up an animal, they could take a picture of it, put it on their iPod, identify it. Just like the assessor does when he goes out on site now, and enter it, and it would be immediately into our website, and someone could identify Fluffy.
Sure.
And know where Fluffy is.
Actually, the iPad has a camera. You take a picture with the iPad.
That's what I'm saying.
And
the information.
And then it's instantly there, and if the people, and then we'll get on eventually get to where people can access our website. Go to animal control and see if Fluffy's
type
there.
In a breed of dog, see what comes up.
Because a lot of times what will happen is, like, there. My dog got out, this was a year and a half ago, something like that, and I ended up finding her, but I called the number, and when the shelter's closed, they say, hey, if we pick up your animal, call us in the morning, and then you can find out if, you know, Emma, my dog, was there. I ended up finding her, but if I could have gone online, if animal control would have picked her up, I could have looked online and said, hey, that's her, and she was picked up in that neighborhood, that's my dog. You know, and then I would have known and not been, you know, this crazed all night.
I mean, we've got that ability, and we are using that already in part of our county departments. And
sure, great. If they do a drive-by assessment of your house, they take a new photo, and then, boom, it's on the GIS.
That's right. New photo. It'll be on the website. Right. We are right on the website.
Before you go further, elaborate on that a little bit. That's a great idea. What I would suggest is that the packaging of that idea, in order for that to happen, there needs to be a little bit of time with our IT department with some application help there to be able to just create a small database so that when they got out there, they got a little app that goes with their...
Well, they already have the application. Record. They fill it out now. We just put that on there.
They have a paper.
Yeah.
And they, mm-hmm. And so this would be an iPad app that would create a record, allow them to type in, this is the address, this is the description, this is the breed, this is the license number, this is the date and the time, this is the contact information. Yeah. Some of those fields would be unique to us
we would just publish it out there.
Yeah.
But basically, it creates a record, and the picture is a critical part of that.
It'll be beautiful. It's yeah. a great
and Mark, when you came to the county, you used your iPhone to take pictures of that?
yeah.
Which creeped out a lot of people. I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of people walking around, he's like, click! It's like, what does that mean?
Well, you know, he never took my photo, which made
now
me wonder.
Now I find out.
I think we understand the concept, and we have other work to do in animal control as well. And,
yeah.
You know, we've been listening.
It'd be something to really get done. And then...
And that would be good if we transfer that to the Humane Society, go ahead and give them that record, too, because
that,
then
yeah.
they can... in fact, they might be able to say, you know, they can go to our record and find out more about it, and, because that should be online.
Yeah.
And then down the road, I want to address our Title 8 and 9 that has to do with... animal control and what we do and how we handle it. Because my vision is down the way is that if we have an injured animal or a sick animal, it goes directly to the vet instead of the Humane Society and then to the vet, or Humane Society and then wait for the vet, that we go right to the vet and then we do the same thing, picture a fluffy, notify owner if it's got a license on it and say your dog's over here so-and-so.
Well, that's part of the same thing, right? That's
yeah, where pretty much the same thing.
That record says what we did with the critter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We brought him to this vet. Here's the contact information.
But down the way, we're going to have veterinarians that we know that are in the program.
We already have.
Two, right? We got a couple there soon, yeah.
So we get several. That we take it to the closest one.
Right.
But more importantly, that if it has a license, you contact the owner. We would contact the animal, say, your pet is over here.
Yep.
The reward, I'm thinking the reward for having your animal licensed, there's no fee. Mm-hmm. Your animal will be taken to the emergency place.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go there, then and they do their arrangement as to how they want your animal cared.
In other words, streamline it as much as possible.
Yeah.
And you could give them a Google map direction set on how to get to the vet.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
So, and then another thing, I think we all had an opportunity to talk to a couple of gentlemen as to somewhere we have not been standardized in the Railroad Board Commission.
Oh, yeah.
That we need to make sure that we follow that procedure. Apparently, in the past, half the time they just make an appointment, and we don't see it. And then when we see it, then we're given a book and we did something different and they weren't happy with our choice. So I think that we should stay in our process of what we do.
Yeah.
And we did the right thing this time, but they weren't aware of it because sometimes in the past they just made an appointment.
Right.
And we wanted to see all applicants here rather than have them just appoint a friend that wanted to be on there. We'd like to look at that versatility. And another thing they were talking, they were upset because they were looking for somebody with a commercial real estate experience for the railroad, but we weren't privy to that. And so we wanted that. I encourage more communication with them and us, maybe even a copy, hard copy, given to us to glance over like we do the Planning Commission.
There should be a uniform procedure for all boards and councils.
Yes, yes.
And we, the railroad, will comply. And I know that when they suggested Eric Fuller be appointed, Jeff and I said, that's got to go to the board.
Well, and we'd already gotten the book at that point. I mean, we'd already gotten our book, and Eric wasn't in it when we first heard about the recommendation.
But the first time we had only one name.
That's what I'm saying.
And so I thought we went to advertising again.
I don't know.
Yeah, Ramona's been in the queue for years,
she
was appointed and accepted, and I think she'll contribute.
Let's say if the advisory board feels like, we're only limited to this number of people, but they really like to expand it out, then there ought to be a process for them to say, we'd like to be able to add another member to our advisory board.
Sure,
agreed.
And that way we get the best of both.
And
so the uniform process, I assume you're going to define it, would include a time window, it would open it up to the public, and they would also say what kind of qualifications or gaps they're looking for they'd like to be able to fill.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Now that's
and the last thing, I just want to give a heads up. I want to come back and have a conversation on step increases. We have somewhere between 10 and 15 step increases depending on what department. The theory of a step increase is to become more skilled in what you do. And that's the idea of you're more valuable as you have that skill. And I think when we hire somebody, that within 3 to 5 years, they would have reached the peak of their skill. But then there's also an apprenticeship that has to be respected also. So the step increases would be the length of an apprenticeship or up to 5 years. So then, because what's going on today is that we have 10 to 15 years of step increases.
For M2s and M1s, we have 15 steps. For represented employees, we have fewer steps. I think it might be eight.
Quite a fluctuation. It would be good for discussion. And because the reason I bring it up is when we have that many, our step increases after you reach your excellence become pay increases or cost of living increases. But we give those besides step increases. So we would expect you to be at your excellence by 3 to 5 years, and after that, your raises. So as it is today, we're giving 4.5% increases every year with
our
new contract.
The range won't necessarily change every year. That what they do is a market study. They compare to jurisdictions that are in this geographic area and others the size of Clark County and Washington.
That's our base.
So they will move the range when they believe it's appropriate to do so. We may go a year or two without moving the range, so we may not get cost of living increases every year.
Well, true. Cost of living is flexible, but our steps are not. Our steps are automatic.
Right. They are, but I'll remind the commissioners that what we did is we went from four quartiles, and we simply took, and you would move 2.5%, 1.8% up this range based on how well you performed. If you were exceptional and you were low in the range, you would get a bigger raise. If you were an average employee and you were high in the range, you would get a smaller increase.
You're talking about M1s, M2s, M3s.
Correct.
I'm talking about collective bargaining.
Okay, so
we could discuss that too, but they're kind of separate.
Okay.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we just simply make sure we get a copy of that section of how those work, both for credit cost of living as well as the steps. We all get a copy of that so we can see how it works.
Monday, Francine Rice visited with each of you, and I believe she handed you materials.
Right. And that was about the M1, 2, and 3. Yeah. Commissioner Mielke's speaking more to the representative side.
I'm talking down the road as we go.
Okay.
Because we get into the next round of
because
negotiations.
We've come from a very complex process to a more simplified process. And really makes a difference when we're trying to balance a budget. We're coming in for our tough times. I think we're going to have another 3 years at least tough times, and then we have a new bill on top of that. So it's one of the things I want to look at. The collective bargaining portion of this is my understanding, and I'll find out more. Is that they agreed to 2.5% instead of 5.
I'm looking for the steps.
Yeah. And that was a good thing, but I still think that we have a range in the job, and maybe we should bring the bottom side up, but then the top side should be up here at the top of the range, but the range doesn't need to go on for 10 years.
So anyway, are you thinking having Francine come to board time or set up a work session? Another one-on-one session?
I have some concerns with what's there. It'd be I don't know all the right questions to ask right now.
Okay.
But I have a whole bunch of. I don't have all of them. I know that there's more to this.
And this would be in preparation for the next bargaining cycle?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So we have time then.
The only part of this that's in the bargaining is my understanding is we went from 5% per step to 2.5%.
And we increase the number of steps, yes.
Yeah. And so the number of steps is not in the bargaining, is in my opinion. And I could be wrong. So that's the reason I say I don't fully understand it, and I have to understand it more.
Okay.
But it looks to me like either we're giving step increases every year or we're going to give COLAs, but you don't give both.
So you want to do some one-on-one and then come back and
I've got some more to learn. Cool.
Yeah,
you guys are
and I wouldn't restrict it just to represented, because right now the topic is non-represented, so we want to make sure that we pay attention to them, especially they're a front burner right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that we respectfully never left them behind. We always brought them up.
Exactly.
Usually 1 year at a time, but we always respected that and brought them up.
So I'd ask for information that I assume they're still going to provide. in our one-on-one meeting.
And that was again specifically?
That was to get the information that basically what Tom is having to do with.
Yeah.
Anything has to do with step increases, anything has to do with any kind of raises to know what does it say?
And just information so we know
the actual contract.
What we have for flexibility, what we can do, what we can't do, what's right, what's wrong, who would be included. That's all I have.
Great.
That's it?
Okay. Cool.
All right. Commissioner?
I'm good.
Mark?
Quiver's empty. I'm done.
I'm sorry.
I've got a vacancy review.
We have a vacancy review.
Yeah, this is the health department.
I have concerns. And I'll tell you why I have concerns. The big reason that we're replacing this is to address the processing and selling of marijuana. And we just extended that moratorium for another 6 months or into February. That was part of it. The second part of this was a reduction of classification and do street assessments for the city of Battleground and Vancouver and Camas. And as you know, I have a little heartburn with supplying all these people with the health department and health care when they contribute nothing to our health department. And this is expansion and oversees that. And the majority of this is to oversee the dispensaries of Clark County and the marijuana.
Well,
so
then remember, we have to have a process as part of our emergency ordinance. We have to have a process, or as part of the moratorium. We have to have a process in place that gets information.
Mm-hmm.
What the health department is saying is that they have serious concerns about the health impacts of having these dispensaries and otherwise. This health impact assessment work that this person would be doing will help create the paper trail for why we wouldn't allow them because of the potential negative health impacts of them to our community. I mean, there may be legal things that we just say, hey, we're not going to go against the feds. But if the state says, well, we think you should have to do these, if we have the ability to come back and say, look, we've done health impact assessments within our community and we believe there are significant negative impacts on our community's health and welfare, that will help us. That's why I like this, because it's work that they need to get done for us.
This is an organizer, not an expert in marijuana. But not a doctor.
They would be conducting the health impact assessments, though, to get the paperwork together.
This position has been reduced down to a coordinator.
Because this is a statewide initiative, 39 counties doing this, and we're all duplicating our work. We should be coordinating with those other counties that are already doing this and learn from them. Why don't we?
Some of them won't do it, though. Some of them might not allow it.
But we need to just have enough that will. We don't. I would think that we would pursue that first rather than reinvent.
But we'll have unique circumstances here in the county. Yeah. You can't just take studies done in other communities and apply them in a blanket fashion here. You've got to consider where are the schools, where are the apartment complexes with little kids, and
that's what we're talking about. Portland, yep. Next door, and what are the impacts associated with having people come across the river and be seeking their recreational marijuana?
Is this
marijuana?
A temporary employee?
No.
Is it permanent employee?
They lowered the overall.
Position. But we don't need the position until after we take action here and decide what we're going to do. And we can't just decide what we're going to do until after we know what the state's going to do.
You know, another thing to consider, too, is that we've asked departments to plan their workforce to accommodate changes and to lower compensation levels generally. The health department's done an outstanding job in that regard. They've got a vacant position. They downgraded it. They're saving some money. They have a real need for the position.
Can I see it?
And this actually, the so in this,
it's called the request.
It doesn't look like
community.
It's a
coalition, Dr.
Miller. Yeah, it's permanent. It
says
community, 2016. Community health specialist.
Expected.
This is someone that goes out into community. Much as we do, we walk out in the community and make sure that they're eating healthy food. That's what this person is.
That's not what this person, they want them to do, though. But the what I see is expected funding duration ends in 2016.
Sure.
I know, but this is the actual... I got that one.
That was
full-time permanent, right up here in the top.
Then why does it say that the expected funding duration would be then? Would they pick up the rest after that point?
Well, that apparently, because this is permanent, so it's, the funding would have to follow.
The funding's in their budget already. They're just asking for permission to fill.
Where I was going with this was to delay it a little bit longer until a month or two before we decide what we're going to adopt. We're going to make an adoption to basically not allow this in the neighborhoods. I don't need someone from the health department to share that with me. We're not going to do that.
And the only reason I think that we may is because the state may come in with their rules, just like they did with methadone clinics, and say, I'm sorry, but you are not allowed to zone these out of existence. And
so what's this person going to do?
Help us create the paper trail of why we might want to zone them out of existence.
Well, if you say we can't.
Well, why don't we do this?
That's the point. That's what we would have to argue.
Well, we have some one-on-ones with the key people in order to learn.
I'd like to have
one of those people to learn more.
So bring
about
Dr. Melnick in on Monday.
I'd like to have a one-on-one.
Monday.
They want to do street assessments for the city of Battleground. Please explain what a street assessment is.
It's called Complete Streets, and I believe it involves designing communities with sidewalks, trails, so that folks can get around by on foot and by bicycle.
That is wonderful. No.
It improves health outcomes. It might lower our...
It does, but we don't need a public health person to do that.
That's right.
Public health did a complete study.
We might come back and do it. I'm just asking for a delay.
How to develop this community to improve health outcomes. A very wonderful study, and it talked about the aging community.
Yes.
It talked about how to create villages and how to improve health outcomes in the county by designing the county in a certain fashion.
It is a great study, and it absolutely, there are wonderful aspects to complete street design. But I agree, having a public health specialist go out there and help them to figure out. It's not that hard to figure out. First of all, second of all, they have their own design staff in the city of Battleground to do that work. But I think what Commissioner Mielke asked for and Commissioner Medora asked for, but we're not necessarily making a decision today. We'd like more information,
sure,
to lay action on it, get us into information on one-on-ones and like why this work is necessary for public health to accomplish.
Okay.
Is that okay?
And I'm having difficulty still with the city of Vancouver not participating in our health department, and we continue to pour more and more work into Vancouver. They're already receiving more than 67% of the assets of our health department and contribute nothing.
At some point, it's the contribute nothing thing that always chafes me a little bit, because I live in the city of Vancouver,
mm-hmm,
and part of my property tax bill goes to Clark County. Part of my sales tax revenue...
Let me tell you what that's for. Over here for our courts.
I get it. And part of my sales tax revenue, 15% of the sales tax in the city of Vancouver goes to Clark County. So the question I've always had, and I've never gotten an answer, is how much do they take and how much do they give? And I don't know. I honestly have no idea whether they are a net drain or a net asset.
We went through this before. We were looking long about the time. We were looking at the biomass plant, and we were talking then as to what little we get through the property taxes that doesn't even pay for our court systems or a prosecuting attorneys or the attorneys that we give them for free.
Right. And I mean, and that may very well be. I don't think we've ever done that analysis. And I don't know that we need to spend a bunch of staff time figuring it out, but I'd love to know at some point, like, how much do we get? I don't know how hard it would be to get, like, how much do we get from each city? You know, and because the how much do they cost part's more difficult to figure out, because then you have to figure out like how much, what are the services that are regional, and how much do we pay for them?
That's what I'm saying. I recall we did that.
If there's something out there, I'd love to see it, just because I'm always
it's actually short of
curious
what we spend
in
the judicial
system.
Living in the city, I got some guy in the country telling me that I'm draining his services, so, you know.
Ruining my clean water,
ruining his clean water.
The extent that our roads...
You know any people who are delinquent in their property?
And exactly. Then we got to worry about that. Him and his 50 friends all in North County.
We have a lot of that work done.
We want to make payments.
Reconfiguration groups was urban services, and we looked at urban services and providing and how much it costs for the county, and so there was a lot of analysis done.
Well, I think the health department when they gave it to
suppose
us.
We learned, here's the numbers.
Right.
What would you do about it?
Yeah, what would you do about
it? I would... I don't think we have ever seriously gone down to the city of Vancouver and say, we'd like to have you contribute to our health department.
How would they do that?
Well, they could write a check once a month or every 6 weeks.
We take payments now. So,
I mean, there must be some kind of a mechanism or ordinance or something that we
would have to
be a local agreement or something.
No. You'd have to go back to the state level, basically. And it would be something we would argue to our legislature that the amount that is paid for regional services by each individual jurisdiction, city jurisdiction, is not enough. Now, the problem with that is, because it's all set in statute, how much they pay and for what. So we'd have to go to get legislation. The problem with that is that cities, when the Democrats are in control, cities are more powerful than counties. And so when you've got the House and the
we'll have to fix that.
Governor's office, see, you got some work to do. But it makes us a little less powerful in the grand scheme of things.
It was paid for at one time through the motor vehicle excise.
Exactly.
Okay. And, in other words,
and then that went away. And in fact, they actually contributed before that. I don't know how they did it. They contributed before the MVET money, and then after the MVET money went away, they just cut us off.
Okay, and
so we're taking the brunt of it.
Okay. So the awareness of an inequity is one thing, but the remedy is another. And so what you're saying is that we don't have a county remedy. It would be a state change in law.
I think we could do it locally because they did it locally before the state law. Okay. I don't know how that was, but they actually contributed before the
state law. Yeah, but the levels of contribution are set in statute now. I think we could look, but I mean, I'm pretty sure they're actually all the contribution levels and our regional responsibilities are all set by statute.
You want to ask that question to Chris Cook or something to see if there's any mechanism that suppose we found out, we didn't understand that, and to see, options are open.
Is there anything that we're not charging them that maybe we could?
We've brought it up before, and I don't know how far we pursued it.
Okay.
We always talk to the health department. I'm not sure how seriously. I'm not sure how much the health department went to the city.
There's also, if I remember correctly, there's an option for the voters to create a public health district as well. And, of course, you could create the new tax.
We have one of those.
A whole new bureaucracy and tax.
I thought we had one of those before.
Yeah, we had one of those. We got rid of it.
So I don't think you're proposing that. So certainly what you are going to do, you're going to find out.
Well, yeah, I am. It's called an environmental surcharge.
Is that part of the litter tax?
Let me pull up the work we do. Mainly Adriana did, because I think the first question is let's find out if we're a winner or a loser.
All right. And we continue to expand the services that we give from our health department. And there again, it lands in the urban areas.
So that's your assignment. You're going
to
sign up for that one.
I would like to even look into Battleground, Camas, or Google.
My money.
So you have our encouragement to go get educated.
All right.
I'm done.
Right, I think that's it. Thank you.
Nothing from you, sir.
No, okay. I'm good. I got to go to the Cole hearing tonight. And just so you guys know, this is the letter that I'm going to be reading. It's the same letter we signed that says include us in the scoping of the Millennium Project. Our Cowlitz brethren are the lead agency, and this letter written by Axel was really good about saying, hey, we're really glad you're in charge of this. We believe there are potential impacts to our citizens with the increased activity on the line, whether it be at the crossings or whether it be potential air impact. We just want you to look into them so we have more information.
That sounds good. When I look out that window and see trains sitting there with freight and whatever it is that's come from the rest of the country and it's coming here into Vancouver, and we're shipping it out, I'm thinking that's jobs, that's economy, I'd rather have that than empty tracks sitting out there.
We had a great discussion at Southwest Air Pollution Control.
Good.
And they're saying don't worry about it. Everything that you've done is safe. They're going to go to the unloading facilities and examine that dust control. And I understand that it's almost dust-free. The cars go inside of a building, and they take the railroad car and turn it upside down and empty it.
The only thing they worry about that they've shown on the transmission for dust in the air, and I've seen lots of pictures where there is a lot of coal dust in the air around these trains, is the surfactant that they use to actually encase the coal. The problem with it, it's a cellulose-based product that when you figure you're on the track like this and you're shaking over time, like over 1,000 miles, is that when it shakes, it'll shake and break. And so then it starts rubbing. Then the coal will start rubbing against itself. And it kind of... So it's an inexact science. That part of it is the only piece that I've seen that's... But I'm not addressing any of that in it. I'm just purely addressing that we want to be involved in getting...
We wrote that letter a year ago, so hopefully your facts are still up to date.
I don't think it's changed.
What's the date of that?
It's the same
project.
It hasn't changed. So
what session?
I had coffee with Joe Laxon. He's your program manager at the health department for septics and wells. Oh. And there's been a significant state WAC change, the administrative code for Group B water systems, which is kind of water systems for quite a few people.
Yeah.
Typically, the state will help in permitting those systems and in the operation maintenance inspection of those systems. They're going away from that, basically getting out of the business, or I don't want to say too much because I don't know the subject well enough, but it basically, Joe wants a work session with you all. Basically, the way this works is we have an agreement with the state for who's going to do what with the Group B systems. That needs to be adjusted, and that's what he needs to get policy direction from you all on, is how much local control we retain or how much we give away.
Do we need a work session on that?
Yeah.
We do. Okay.
Well, I'm that's
informational. Yeah.
And let's do this. I'm going to have him come to board time probably next week or the week after and do a better job articulating it than me, and then you decide if you want to.
Seriously. You do a little better job.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
We'll do.
Does a good job articulating.
Yes, you do. You do. Thank you all for your work. Appreciate it.
I like that little pun you worked in there. Well,
327.
Got out of here on time. Awesome. Good work.